Welcome to another episode of Our Blue Bahamas, where we promote the conservation of the Bahamian marine environment that sustains our way of life. I'm your host, Crystal, and today we're talking about the Young Reporters for the Environment program and building student awareness and engagement. I'm your host, Crystal, and we have on our panel today Jasmine and Heather, who are on Brief's outreach team, as well as our special guests, Miss Indira Gadet, who's a parent and YRE coordinator for Hillcrest Academy, and joining us, her son, who's also a part of the YRE club, William Gadet. Good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. Doing fine, thanks. Happy to be on your show.
Awesome. So as we get into the topic of fostering young environmental stewards and empowering them through media, which is what the Young Reporters for the Environment program does, I want to start off by asking you, Ms. Gadet, how did you get involved? What inspired you to get involved in the Young Reporters program as a parent and educator?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for asking that question. Really and truly, after the COVID pandemic, I saw that we were still struggling with a few socialization skills with the kids. And I saw this coming through to my own home, where they were still finding a challenge to adjust. And you know, the adage goes, the devil has work for idle hands. So part of what I was thinking about as a parent was, maybe if I can find something for my kids as well as their classmates to participate in, maybe we can foster some positivity, some positive-mindedness throughout the school. I was scrolling through the internet and stumbled across the Brief program that talked about eco schools, and I just saw it as an addendum that could be added. And I reached out to Mr. Kevin Glinton at that time. He told me this was an easy-to-do program. The school can modify it, and they're already teaching the curriculum. And so I presented that concept to the principal, Mrs. Judith Dawkins. She totally loved it, and the rest is history from there. We were just working on partnering to align parents, students, faculty with this wonderful program that is Eco Schools, and we're still building, of course, but it's just been an amazing experience.
Awesome. That sounds great. And we also have Jasmine and Heather in studio from our outreach team. They've worked with many, many students, hundreds of students on
thousands.
Thousands of students at our outreach program, working with eco schools and other schools that are, working up their way to be eco schools. So Jasmine, please tell us about the importance of engaging students in these type of environmental activities.
What I love about our programs is we take the kids into the marine ecosystems. So, and a lot of times, you know, we take it for granted, but a lot of kids don't have the opportunities to like see a mangrove wetland or actually do a coral reef snorkel. Although it's so close to us, it's our ecosystems right in our walking distance. But they haven't had an opportunity to actually be there and connect with it. So bringing that knowledge with the curriculums and actually having them there is just an amazing experience where they can learn and then also have an opportunity to be outside and have fun.
And fun fact, a lot of students have had their very first mangrove walks with Brief, their very first snorkels with Brief. Heather, you've been working in outreach for a very long time. Tell us about what some of the students' feedback is after their first time snorkeling or their first time in the mangrove. What are the type of things they say?
It's kind of interesting, actually, because it's kind of like a circular motion where before they go in the water, they're so scared, almost shaking like a leaf. And once you confirm to them that they're safe, it'll be fine, and they actually go and experience these things and see these things, they're almost in awe and amazed. Like, it's one of those memories you can remember from your childhood that you'll never forget. And every time we come out of the water, we always hear, "Can we go back in the water? Let's go back in the water. What are we doing this again?" And it's so rewarding because we want to go back in the water with them, and we want to have those experiences and get even more kids in the water, because once they have that first experience where they feel safe and protected, even if it's an environment they're afraid of, that can help them to overcome those fears and encourage other people and really keep that cycle going and really breaking down that fear of the ocean. We still want to be cautious when we're near the ocean, but we don't want to let that fear control us to where we don't even explore the marine resources we have right here in our backyard.
Beautifully said, Heather. Beautifully said. And for the Young Reporters for the Environment program, it also helps students after going on these very hands-on experience, going out into nature. It helps them to be able to further communicate what they've actually experienced with the wider community and with the wider world, even. So, Indira, in the same breath, what benefits have you seen in your students or your child through participating in this type of environmental media work? We know that Hillcrest Academy has always been champions for the Wiry National Competition. We always have great entries from your students. What benefits have you seen?
Yes, well, thanks for that question. I would say there's been tremendous pulling of information out of those children, and it's amazing. I have learned so much even as a parent. As kids are growing and they're learning, now I have the opportunity to realize just how much is in their little noggins that we might be missing along the way. So we had this experience last year where town planning had approved for a gas company to move into the area right opposite where the kids have their sports and playtime for PE. And it's also part of the property of the church that they're connected with. I was able to find out some more information from the community leader of the Blue Hill Estates Association, and you know, spoke with Madam Principal about maybe us putting it forth to our kids' board. They have a board that meets and talks about environmental issues. So, you know, we were able to present that, and we asked them if they would be willing to participate. The then president, Caitlin Maturin, she was able to come up with a nice essay, and we went to the hearing at town planning to protest, good protest, against this gas company coming into the neighborhood. And it was just quite amazing, the experience the kids had. They were well behaved. They sat and they listened attentively. The board of town planning came. They watched the children, made their presentation. They explained due process to those students. And so it was an equally rewarding situation. And they were just in awe that these kids were coming to keep our, you know, our planners responsible and accountable. And we had a really good result. In essence, the gas company did not decide to continue with that process, and the kids learned so much from that journey that one small voice in the wilderness can really make a huge impact. Mm-hmm. And so we're also learning that kids have a lot to say. And even with the Wiry contest, I was able to take the kids recently out on a field visit to Harry and Wilson Pond, where they were able to do a site analysis, also a little bit of a cleanup there. And those kids, together with the art of storytelling that we put on this year in conjunction with Brief, we had Mrs. Darling Sargent come out and speak to the kids about the mangroves, et cetera. So we were able to put enough information into them that they were able to now give us information, and those entries, phenomenal.
Yeah, and I concur. I agree. They have had great entries all along, and I, you know, working with the Wiry program, it is an international program that we have, that Brief leads the national program for the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. So all of the entries come to Brief, and there has been a lot of, I think over the years, of seeing students resubmit, right? So there've been entries that they've put in over the years. We've seen some of the same students again. We've watched the improvement over the years. And I think that Jasmine and Heather can also speak to that as well. You know, when you see students come back, like on a field trip, or they come back to a snorkel or a beach cleanup, the excitement or the maturity when they come in. I know we have our C program that we recently started, the Students for Environmental Action, and one of those students was actually in one of the focus sessions, the Lyford Key YRE focus sessions, and he was basically leading the charge and showing all the other students what to do when we were out there doing the C program. He was like, oh, I've done this before, I know what this is, you know, and he was kind of explaining it to the students. So when you have these type of programs, right, that can reinforce the message to the same students, and they are able to impact other students, mm-hmm. and we're creating that rippling effect, that's very, very powerful. I don't know if Heather or Jasmine want to add to that.
I love the story that you said, because when we do have our field trips and we have all of these, we give them the education, they have this new form of wealth of knowledge, they have this new intellectual curiosity, but now in the whole issue with the town planning, now they get to see how that impacts us, and so it gives them a real life example, and it really kind of curates their minds to be the next generation of environmental leaders. And I just so love that.
Yeah, on that note, I think you really need to give kids leadership roles mm-hmm. in order for them to evaluate some challenges that may be addressed, you know, the power in their voice. And I think sometimes, you know, growing up, you go to school, you listen to what your teacher says, it can be hard to find your voice mm-hmm. and what you really stand for. And so really having programs like the Eco Schools program, which is a student-led program, really allows for students to really tap into those leadership roles. And then once they do that, they find issues that they're passionate about. Then we go back to educating them mm-hmm. about these issues, and then you have a student that's ready to really advocate for those issues. Yes. So these two programs combined really are a great Kickstarter for starting really young environmental leaders.
Yes. Yeah. And so, you know, go back into the Young Reporters for the Environment program. Yes, there's a national competition, which the deadline's in April every single year, but beyond that, the Young Reporters for the Environment is a program that can be introduced in schools and can also run alongside the Eco Schools program, which you've done in Dira. And so I just want you to tell me a little bit about how the two intertwine with one another, because we have a lot of Eco Schools here in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just tell us a little bit about how those two kind of are married into each other.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we did with Hillcrest, we started an Eco School whole program. We never wanted to segment the preschoolers from the elementary schoolers, and then, of course, the YRE. We just want everybody to understand, firstly, that this is a whole school culture. And so even though persons may not be part of what we call the Eco Club, where the elementary students mostly are meeting, we still want parents and kids, faculty to know it's Eco School entirely, and we will try to meet the call for the day of environmental matters. Now, as we know, our little ones start to transition into puberty. I call it the hormonal disease. But yeah, we have a need to reach them in a different way. And so over the 3 years that we've been in Eco School, we've noticed the evolution is something that's necessary, because those kids, they see the world differently when they are starting to mature. We had some kids that were very excited about Eco at first because they got to be outside, but as hormones started to kick in, they don't want anything to do with dirt. And then we see the converse, where some kids were running away, hiding under desk at any time Eco Club would have met, and we just leave them, you know, be. But now they're coming and they want to participate. They want to take on leadership roles, especially when they see that I'd bring in, let's say, a guest speaker like Tanoia Thompson, who is a scientist, and she gets to talk about her exciting life as a scientist working with reptilian scientists as well. So they're meeting people and they're now starting to say, hey, that off-the-wall idea I had to become a rocket scientist is actually something a real human or Bahamian mm-hmm. may have aspired to become. Well, maybe I can do this when I'm graduating. And so we inspire both the young and the older elementary students in that way. Now, once we get a bit more resourcing, of course, we are trying to have little siloed programs that just meet the needs for those YRE-aged students. And we're also, that would be mostly grade six, actually. And the grade fives, we're trying to introduce them into the YRE program starting this year, a little earlier. So with the field visit that we did for the grade sixes, we also brought the grade fives along together with our teachers. So now we have natural succession and we have natural progression into, oh, this is the mindset that we're trying to tap into. And okay, I've done it last year. I can do it and I can do it even better in the next year, in the next school year in grade six. So that's our super plan. Hopefully it works. We're still testing like scientists too. But it seems to be something that can be a sustainable implementation on the school level.
Thank you so much. That was so beautiful, Indira. Mm-hmm. I really feel so recharged and inspired by your stories. And I know that Jasmine and Heather and I are nodding. Yeah. They're like, yes, yes. This is exactly what we are invested in doing mm-hmm. at Brief all the time. So right now we're going to take a short little segue into one of our new Brief segments that we have called A Brief Fact. And we have our Young Reporters for the Environment Hillcrest student here, William Gaudette, who is going to read out a brief fact for us.
Did you know that parrotfish poop sand? It's true. Parrotfish eat algae off the reef, and while they do that, they also grind up coral and rock. The result? White sand. Just one parrotfish can produce hundreds of pounds of sand each year, keeping our beaches beautiful and helping coral reefs stay healthy by controlling algae growth. Let's remember to protect our beautiful coral reefs and the parrotfish that make our sun, sand, and sea truly spectacular.
Thank you so much for that brief fact, William. Very interesting stuff. Parrotfish. They're awesome. So going back into the topic now, we want to talk a little bit about the theme that we are exploring in not just Young Reporters for the Environment, but in Eco Schools for this year. We're focusing on ecosystem restoration. So while we have the experts in here, Jasmine and Heather, I wanted to ask the question, why is ecosystem restoration something that is important for the Bahamas?
Ecosystem restoration is so important because we are in a hurricane zone. So like what we would have seen with Hurricane Dorian, a lot of our mangrove ecosystems were destroyed. So when it comes to like risk management and disaster planning, we want to have mechanisms already decided. So if we are faced with situations like this again, we'll have a way forward and how to achieve our biodiversity and maintain our ecosystems.
Yeah. Heather, what about, I want to go into a little bit more of marine because mm-hmm. I know Heather, you're the maritime superstar at Brief.
Yeah.
So you can tell us a little bit about how the marine ecosystems are negatively impacted or why ecosystem restoration is so crucial for marine ecosystems in the Bahamas especially.
Yeah, so every country around the world right now, we're aware, is facing the effects of climate change. And one of the effects of climate change we know is increased heat. And in the past years, we've experienced a lot of side effects underwater as a result of this heat. One of the main issues we've faced is coral bleaching. And coral bleaching is basically when waters get too heated. And I like to call corals the drama queens of the sea. So they need perfect conditions. The water has to be clear, salty enough, and it has to be the right temperature and pH. All of those things have to be in place in order for corals to be healthy and thriving in an ecosystem. And so when you're in the summertime and you have heat waves, I know last summer we broke records for heat, and this summer we might even break them again. But last year we had a heat wave above water, and we know our oceans absorb most of our heat, so it was happening underwater too. And a lot of our corals that were even on our coral trees were bleached. And coral bleaching is when corals get stressed out because of this heat, because they need all these perfect conditions. When they get stressed out, they expel their zooxanthellae, or their symbiotic partner. And so their zooxanthellae gives them their color, their food. And so when they lose the zooxanthellae, they give them 90% of their food. So eventually the corals will start to starve. They're not completely dead yet, but they're going to start to starve because the person who brings them their energy and their food isn't there. So now they have to try and catch their food, and if the water stays too hot, they could die. But if the water returns to normal temperatures, they could regain their zooxanthellae back. So it's definitely not a death sentence for corals, but we know that most of the time when the water gets hot, it pretty much stays at that level for a really long time, about 2 weeks at least. And then it starts to go down if the temperature drops. But if that temperature is constant, you're going to see a lot of coral bleaching. And that's why ecosystem restoration is so important, because here at Brief, we have our Brief Coral Reef Sculpture Garden and Nursery, where we have two coral trees, and we regrow staghorn coral, which is the fastest growing coral, so we can build reef structure in that area. So we really do a lot of ecosystem restoration at that site with our coral trees.
Very good. And I love that Jasmine brought up the natural disasters and how they damage our mangroves, which was like a very, very, very important ecosystem, system, especially in the Bahamas, especially in the northern Bahamas, that gets hit by a lot of hurricanes. So those mangroves are there for a reason. And then the coral reefs are also our first, like Heather said, they're our first line of defense in strong storms and hurricanes. So we're in the summer, we're talking about, you know, hurricane season, right? That spans from basically June to November, depending on, you know, sometimes December, depending on the length of each year, the intensity of temperature each year. It may be adjusted, but those things are so important for us because of where we live. And it's very, these ecosystem restoration and these topics are themes that students can pick up for their Young Reporters for the Environment entries, or topics that they can discuss in their classes during their eco club sessions. They could be talking about coral bleaching. They could have an entire day talking about ecosystem restorations and the importance of mangroves to the Bahamas. Coral reefs are also home to many species of fish that we like to enjoy, right? And we love, especially on the holidays, we like to consume the conch and the crawfish and the groupers, right? They're like specialties. But if we want to have them for a long time, we have to be very, very careful to make sure that those ecosystems that they thrive in and they rely on are still intact. And in the Young Reporters for the Environment program, our goal is to get people, to get students to be able to understand that and to communicate that. So the outreach and education work that Heather and Jasmine do on a regular basis is incredibly important for that. Going back to the competition, the national competition and the entries, we know Hillcrest, like we said earlier, usually has a lot of entries to the Young Reporters competition. Has there been any particular challenges that you face with your eco club in, you know, doing wiry entries, and how do they overcome those?
Yeah, so with my kids being on the younger end of the spectrum, of course, we have to do a lot more to educate and engage. Sometimes they're secretive with their parents, so parents don't really know what's going on at Eco Club all the time. So I found that what we needed to do was ensure that the parents were sensitized to the Eco program, they were sensitized to the competition, so they can see tangible outcomes out of what we were doing at Hillcrest from an Eco perspective, firstly. And then when they get a random phone call from a Mrs. Cadet, they would actually realize that, oh, she's reaching out. She's actually empowering my kids to enter a competition where there are great prizes. So, of course, I'm going to support them, right? Mm-hmm. And so this is great for us because now we have positive reinforcement coming from the home front. That also at school, you know, Madam Principal and I, we discussed having the teachers of those particular aid set also involved. And so we would bring them into those specialty, like we had specialty meetings like we had this year, where we hosted the art of storytelling. So we wanted to teach the kids about the mangroves, about coastal areas, so that they can understand the actual issues. Because sometimes they sit and we don't know what they're taking in and if anything is sinking, you know. So we wanted them to be educated about that. And then we challenged them. So I liked when brief comes, and the kids also like when brief comes, because brief comes and gives them little incentives to participate actively in the information sessions. Mm-hmm. So we have kids now who demonstrate, oh, I understood this, I can regurgitate that information, and now let me research and apply. Also, some of the things I stepped in to assist with was citation, because on the level that those kids are in grades 5 and 6, they're mm-hmm. not yet learning what is plagiarism to the extent that they understand what that big word means. Mm-hmm. And so we have to simplify it and then demonstrate, okay, this is what a citation should look like for pictures, if you're going to use pictures in your article, or if you are going to take a picture yourself, it's okay to just say, this is my picture. Mm-hmm. Also with the video entries, I remember having to tell a couple of the parents to make sure that they write out all of the sources that they use for the picture inserts for the videos. Mm-hmm. Just take a screenshot, add that to the mm-hmm. CapCut edit, and then, you know, they should mm-hmm. be fine. And so now those kids are leaving with a high school or a college level appreciation of how not to plagiarize going yes. into the 7th grade. And so everything ties into the curriculum that's mm-hmm. already being taught, and so we're really happy mm-hmm. to be able to demonstrate in that yeah. way.
And last question for you, Indira, as we're getting ready to wrap up, mm-hmm. what would you say to schools who may be thinking about starting a eco club and YRE program and getting involved in these brief programs? What would you say to them? They may be on the fence.
Yeah, well, I would definitely say it's a good value add from a value proposition standpoint. There is benefit in that now you join a community of people, and I love the October conferences, by the way, that mm-hmm. Brief hosts.
Yeah, the Eco Schools, conferences
yes,
for teachers.
Right, yeah. So we get to meet other people in our circle. We get to share our war stories and learn how to introduce this. I would also say community partnership is something that is fostered, and we sometimes discount how important that is to a school as a brand. So I talk in marketing speak because I do real estate, but I recognize that a lot of businesses, they need that marketing element, and schools are no exception, right? Mm-hmm. And so for Hillcrest, for example, this was an opportunity for them to kind of rebrand and change the culture of the school without changing the school itself. They're already teaching the hidden curriculum. So now is an opportunity to benefit on an international scale and be recognized for what it is that you're actually teaching by documenting. So go in with a plan, read all the material in the 90-page document. It's really not as bad as it sounds, because a lot of it is appendices and things that you actually need in order to get your green flag, which mm-hmm. we're so happy
yes,
to have.
Yes, yes, yes. Hillcrest recently got their first green flag, so congratulations again on
that.
Thank
you. And it's very simple. It's about partnership. So the principal can help to lead the charge to ensure that the teachers are all pulling out the information to document the curriculum elements that are being taught. We have Brief as a resource to lean on. FEE, as an international body, has a lot of education materials and videos, some of which I've watched. Also, I know the UK has been very heavy on information that they have that's available for public use. And so there are resources to help at every point. And I would also say, like Mr. Kevin Clinton always told me, keep it simple, Gadette. And sometimes knowing when to step back and allow the children, like William, he's the co-president, and his team to lead the charge on certain activities like our garden and other things, or ensuring they have an avenue to go to the snorkels where we'd see Heather and the crew there. And it's just an amazing opportunity to leverage whatever the school is really all about. So why not do it?
Thank you so much for that, Ms. Gaudette. You've given us so much great information. We are all out of time for today, unfortunately, but we will be back next week, Saturday, same time, same place. So please tune in. And you can also, in the meantime, check us out on our socials at Brief242. That's B-R-E-E-F 242. And I'm going to ask William to close us out today. Our Hillcrest Academy Eco Schools and YRE president.
Thanks for tuning into our Blue Bahamas. I'm William, and remember, every voice matters when it comes to protecting our ocean. Keep learning, keep exploring, and keep making waves.